Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The BetMGM Network presents to you the most unique show in sports.
Sorry for hating. No, I'm not. I love being a hater when it comes to winning money.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won. Is twice as sweet as money here.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
Drake May has arrived. And the next great quarterback in the NFL? Do you know who it is? I'll tell you. It's gonna be May. Jonathan Gannon and Drew Petzing have got to go. I'd like to know if, like, they practice. Like, do the Cardinals practice? Is Kyler Murray playing Ghost of Yotai for PlayStation 5? Or is he, like, studying film? If you had Arizona in Survivor, I'm sorry.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry phenomenal football Friday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app. On SiriusXM, on YouTube at youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network, on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network, and we are heard on radio stations nationwide. We are in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment, talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, we will bring you, dear listener, you, dear viewer, the latest on Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer, as he feels like he might play tomorrow in Red River against Texas. Femi and I will discuss the latest injury update on Oklahoma's quarterback, one of the favorites to win the Heisman Trophy, and how we are going to be betting Red River tomorrow with Texas and Oklahoma. Also on today's show, the crew on You Better You Bet, competing for a very prestigious title and for a life-changing amount of money. They are trying to win Nick Kostos' money. A cool $20 that they must use on a bet at BetMGM. Last week, it was our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, who won the $20. Bill has been pathetic this week in his role as executive producer. What I can tell everyone is Bill will not win Nick Kostos' money this week. Tyler Morales might win. Addy Bates is in contention. Jay Kassan had a very strong Thursday, vaulting himself back into the race. And don't discount downtown Mike Brown or Sean, smile on his mouth, hand on his haw, all going to win life-changing money from Nick Kostos' wallet, a cool $20. We will find out who wins later in the show, and perhaps we will have a tribunal where members of the crew will make their case to win the money. And more importantly, make the case against others. Three tremendous guests will join us on the show today. Robert Flores from MLB Network will make his You Better You Bet debut. He will join us next hour on the show, talking all things Major League Baseball playoffs. The great Jay Croucher from NBC Sports, Jay's Best Bets for Week 6 in the National Football League. And Colin Wilson from the Action Network and Big Bets on Campus. Colin's college football play is coming up for this weekend, all next hour here on the show. And in the power hour, the final hour, we will roll through the entire weekend in football, college, and the NFL. The latest injury updates, courtesy of Tyler Morales. No pressure, Tyler. Give you the bets that we're making now and the bets that we're looking to make as we head into the weekend. Plus, Major League Baseball, plus WNBA, as the Aces look to close it out tonight against the Mercury and cash the series bet that Femi gave out last week and I tailed. So hopefully the Aces get it done tonight. Social question today on YouTube and Twitch. What is your best NFL bet for this weekend? Side, total, or a prop? Your favorite bet for Week 6 NFL Sunday? Type it in the chats on YouTube and Twitch. Mike Brown will put them on the screen. Bill Zimmerman will read the best answers later in the show. YouTube and Twitch, type it in the chats. Your best bet coming up for Week 6 NFL Sunday. But we officially begin. Phenomenal Football Friday. You know, out of all the phenomenal football Fridays in the history of You Better You Bet, and we've been on the air for 6 years now, seven football seasons, there have been numerous phenomenal football Fridays. Perhaps none more phenomenal than this one. Because where we start is an improbable Thursday night football result where somehow, some way, my New York football Giants kicked the Eagles' ass in front of a national audience, 34-17. I find myself quoting the late, great Freddie Mercury. Is this the real life or is this fantasy? Did this really happen? It's like a fever dream. Like, that, the Giants didn't just cover. We bet Giants plus 7.5. I thought the Giants could keep the game close. I didn't think they were going to win. And not only did they win, they won emphatically. They won in dominating fashion. And you can make excuses for the Eagles, and we'll talk about the Eagles coming up in a little bit. Jalen Carter doesn't play in the game. He's really important. Quinyon Mitchell, their best corner, exits during the game, doesn't return. That's bad for the Eagles, obviously. Like, Landon Dickerson doesn't play for the Eagles. This was not a full-strength Eagles team. They're missing really important players on both sides of the ball. But even with that said, like, let's be clear about this. This wasn't the Giants skating by because of Eagles injuries. The Giants kicked the crap out of the Eagles in this game. This was domination on both lines of scrimmage from the Giants. Defensive line to Eagles offensive line, that was the crux of the handicap yesterday on the show that I told you with Toth filling in for Landon Dickerson, not going to go great. Tyler Steen hasn't been great since Mekhi Becton signed with the Chargers. I thought that's how the game would be decided. It was one of the reasons and one of the things that decided the game. How about the Giants' offensive line? It was very good in this game as well. The Eagles, and maybe it's more about Philadelphia, we'll see. Eagles could not get a ton of pressure on Jackson Dart. No juice off the edge. Just a stunning performance from both teams last night on Thursday Night Football. How about Jackson Dart? 17 of 25, a buck 95 through the air, and a passing touchdown. 13 carries, 58 yards, and a rushing touchdown. How about Cam Scadaboo? The Dallas Cowboys might be America's team. I feel confident in saying, though, Cam Scadaboo, America's running back. 19 carries, 98, soul-stealing, clavicle-breaking yards, and 3 touchdowns. We'll get to some betting stuff in a second and more analysis of the game, but I feel compelled to ask this question. Because even when, in my lifetime, the Giants have been really good, and, you know, like, 1990 is the first year that I watched football, and the Giants won the Super Bowl that year. You know, I didn't really get to see much of the, like, Lawrence Taylor in his prime in the 80s, when the Giants were undeniably cool with LT as the best player on the team. Are the New York Giants the coolest team in the NFL? I'm being serious. Is there a team right now that is cooler than the New York Football Giants? Because even when they were winning two Super Bowls with Eli Manning, no one would look at that team coached by Tom Coughlin, quarterback by Eli Manning, and say, you know what? That team, they're cool. That team, dripping with swag. And you know the defense tried to make it happen with Jim Jones. We fly high, no lie, you know this. Ballin'! But when Eli Manning's the face of the team, and look, they won two Super Bowls. I'm really happy it happened, obviously. You're not that cool. This Giants team is undeniably cool. This Giants team is an absolute ton of fun. Even Brian Daboll, whom I have absolutely crushed on this show over the years, even Brian Daboll is kind of cool. Even Brian Daboll is a little swaggy right now. Now that his handpicked quarterback, Jackson Dart, looks really good and is 2-1 as the starter, and if not for five consecutive turnovers on five consecutive possessions against the Saints, maybe would be 3-0. And the scene with Jackson Dart in the second half going into the blue medical tent. This is like something out of like a Judd Apatow comedy. Like, this was absolutely ridiculous. And yes, there's like a serious implication here that the Giants shouldn't rush him back onto the field if indeed he's concussed. Look, yes, there's something to be said for that. Also, can we just like stop the pearl clutching for a second and just acknowledge that the whole thing was pretty funny and that Dart was not put in harm's way? And it's pretty funny, right? And if you were Brian Daboll, and you know that your ass is on the line, and Dart goes into the medical tent, the biggest mistake the Giants made was not having Jameis Winston be the two. Because the moment Russell Wilson jogs out onto the field, he's like a Dementor from Harry Potter. All the happiness is sucked out of MetLife Stadium. Forget about MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, New York, and the tri-state area. When Russell Wilson goes out onto the field, and immediately Russ throws a ball. We don't know if it's his fault. Spikes it off the ground like a lawn dart. We don't know if the receiver ran the wrong route. All we know is get Jackson Dart back out there. We can't do this with Russell Wilson. And that blue medical tent was like the equivalent of a clown car. I mean, how many people were in that blue medical tent? It's like a joke. How many people can you fit in a blue medical tent? Answer, Jackson Dart, Giants team doctor, independent neurologist, Cam Scadabo, Brian Daboll. I'm pretty sure Lane Kiffin was in there checking in on his old college quarterback. I think Eli Manning might have been in there. Ole Miss Giants relation. Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. was in there. Shout out to his former team, his first team. And maybe the guy that just suspended him for 6 games for PEDs, maybe he was in there as well. And you know who else was in that medical tent? Jason Kelce. Because he's everywhere, including the blue medical tent. Oh, yeah, everyone's in that blue medical tent. But thank God Jackson Dart left the blue medical tent and got back into the game, because the New York Football Giants were able to complete an improbable, dominant upset win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I'll say this about Jackson Dart, and I'll say this about Brian Daboll, and I'm happy about everything that happened. Jackson Dart, this is not a prediction. What I'm about to say, this is a spoiler. Jackson Dart is going to get hurt if he keeps running like this with reckless abandon and refusing to slide and jumping for first downs, which is awesome. And like, as a fan, you love that. But also, like, you can't, he's not like Cam Newton physically. He can't keep, he's not Jaden Daniels physically. He's not slight like Jaden Daniels is, but he's not Cam Newton. He can't keep taking hits like this. And like the insanity of Brian, and I'll credit Brian Daboll in a second, I mean that. Like, Dart goes into the blue medical tent for a concussion check. He comes out and immediately Daboll runs him on two straight plays. What are we doing here? Like, what is that? Like, I know we got to say, Dable's trying to save his job. Like, are you trying to get this young man killed? Like, come on. Like, they gotta slow that down a little bit here. Like, he's gonna get hurt. 13 carries, 58 yards, sacked a couple times. Like, there's no way he's going to be able to keep sustaining hits like this over the balance of the season. For Brian Daboll, that aside, I have been saying since Daboll's second year, and the first year, Coach of the Year, great result for us here on the show. Shout out to Ken Barkley. Playoff appearance, playoff win at the Vikings in the wild card round. Wiped off the face of the earth by the Eagles in the divisional round, but listen, they won a playoff game. It was pretty exciting, right? It was pretty great. That's the best win for the Giants since last night. Basically, since then, I've come on the show and said, I don't think Brian Daboll's cut out for this job. Him and Joe Shane should lose their jobs. And we even got the shots of Joe Shane in the owner's box last night wearing that suit looking like he's going for his first communion. I have to be honest here. Like Cam Ward says, we'll keep it a buck. If Jackson Dart's good, and I think it remains to be seen like how good he is. Like, I don't think we have the answer to that question yet. I mean, he could be really good. And, like, Scadaboo's a running back. So, like, yes, he's a tone setter and that's fun, but, like, ultimately he doesn't really matter that much, just like the position doesn't matter. If Jackson Dart's good, and we'll talk about the schedule on the other side for the Giants, I've got a record in mind where if the Giants can reach this mark, I actually think you have to bring them back. And I'd endorse it. Like, you can't pick the right quarterback and have it be obvious and win games and get fired. On the other side, I'll tell you what that record is, what I think they'll do to get to that record, and we'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles' pathetic performance last night.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting formation. Dart. Is he going to take off again? He might have to, but no. He finds an open man and hits him. Robinson stays in bounds. Robinson's going to go all the way for a touchdown.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Al Michaels with the call last night on Amazon Prime. Here's to you, Wandale Robinson. How about the Amazon Prime postgame show? Cam Scadaboo and Ryan Fitzpatrick taking off their shirts in synchronized fashion. Like, I'm being honest here. Like, I actually believe that the Giants are the coolest team in the NFL right now. They're the swaggiest team in the NFL. What NFL team is swaggier right now than the New York Football Giants? I want someone to tell me. Am I wrong? Is there a swaggier team right now than the New York Football Giants? It doesn't mean that the Giants are going to win a lot of games, but I'll tell you what, they are a ton of fun to watch right now. Are they going to keep it up? With the win, the Giants improve to 2-4. And I mean, really, should have beaten the Saints last weekend, but you don't want to cry over spilled milk, and they did turn the ball over five times. Probably a deserved loss. So the Giants at 2-4, and the vibes are through the roof at the moment. And part of that, candidly, and I'm always honest with the audience, right? Like, I'm a Giants fan. I'm a native New Yorker. Like, the energy right now, like, you, it's kind of, like, palpable. Like, you can feel it in the city. I'm in Staten Island. I'm not in Manhattan. But you know what? You can still feel it. You can feel it. The excitement is through the roof. Now, this is where I have to take my fan hat off. Where, you know, this is 13-year-old Nick Costos. I'm like, the Giants are not losing another game the rest of the season. And I'm super excited, and I'm planning a trip. Asking my dad to plan a trip to the Super Bowl, because we going. And let's have an honest conversation about how the rest of the year is going to go for the Giants. Because if we are going to be objective about it, the team is really not very good. Like, they're not. The Malik Nabers injury absolutely destroys this receiving core. And they were able to get away with it last night against the Eagles. And they lose Quinyon Mitchell in the game. And like that, we'll get to the Eagles. But when Lil Jordan Humphrey, who's just called up off the practice squad, is like the primary deep threat, it's like you got no chance over the balance of a 17-game schedule if this is what you're doing. The secondary stinks. And I understand that Cordell Flott had that interception. Which, by the way, we don't have to save this. That is 100% on Jalen Hurts, that interception. Like Flott, I could have caught that pass. That's as bad as it gets from Jalen Hurts. Secondary stinks. The offensive line played great last night. I don't think the offensive line is really that good, even though Andrew Thomas is excellent at left tackle. This team's got issues. I don't think they're a playoff team. I would love if they made it. I don't think they're a playoff team. And just to say this, because maybe you're out there listening and watching saying, well, you're saying they should bring Brian Daboll and Joe Shane back. How could you say that if, like, the team's not good in year four of the regime? Well, like, if they get the quarterback right and we feel like Dart's the guy, we all collectively feel that way heading into next season, and when this season's over, then yeah, like, they should probably come back. And it doesn't give me pleasure to say that, but I also don't really dislike saying it as long as the quarterback's good. Because it's obviously what matters the most. So the team's not great, right? Despite the win last night. Despite two wins in three games and beating the Chargers and the Eagles. I still don't think the team's that good. And I think that's objectively honest. And now we talk about the schedule. Next week, at the Denver Broncos, where look-ahead markets have the Giants more than a touchdown dog. And my sense is the Broncos will remain more than a touchdown favorite at home, because they will take care of business against the Jets in London on Sunday. So more than a touchdown dog in that game. Then they travel to Philadelphia. Does anyone think the Eagles will be looking for revenge after what happened last night? And this is why I don't want to get too crazy about this and troll Eagles fans too much, because it's not like they play again in week 18. Like, this is week eight they play. Not great. I guess it could go well. On paper, maybe not. Home Niners, where ostensibly the Niners will be healthier than they are now. They could probably get Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings in that game. At the Bears. Home Packers. At the Lions. God. At Drake May and the New England Patriots. And then you get the bye week. What do the Giants need to do over this stretch heading into the bye that'll make you feel decent about the team heading into next year? The Giants' new win total for the season at BetMGM is 5.5. Juice towards the under. Just a little, but juice towards the under. So the Giants have to win 4 more games in order to cash that adjusted win total right now at BetMGM. So ask yourself this question. I'm gonna read the teams again, and you, the listener and the viewer, in your head, shout out to the Cranberries. That's Zombie from the late 1990s. Great song. Think in your head, how many games did the Giants win? Again, at Denver, at Philly, home Niners, at the Bears, home Packers, at Lions, at the Patriots, heading into the bye. It's brutal, right? Coming out of the bye, though, it's not the worst closing schedule for Big Blue. 3 out of 4 games at home. Home Commanders. Home Vikings. And who knows who's going to be starting a quarterback for Minnesota. At the Raiders. And home against the Dallas Cowboys in Week 18. Does that change your mind at all about 5.5 wins, given what they were able to accomplish last night, and honestly, what they were able to accomplish a couple weeks ago beating the Chargers? This is not like I'd bet my house on it, but if you're taking a look at that adjusted win total for Big Blue, I think I like the over. The pass rush is obviously good, and this team's got moxie. Now, moxie's not enough to get you into the postseason, and I'm not harboring any illusions of the Giants being a playoff team. I don't think they're a playoff team. Can they finish 7-10? And if they do, with that schedule, should Brian Daboll and Joe Shane come back? I actually think the answer to that question, I can't believe I'm saying it, is yes. You bet on this Friday. Man, that was great last night. It was great for me, great for Giants fans. Was not the best sports night for Philadelphia. And obviously the game that everybody was paying the closest attention to was the Flyers, who lost. We'll get to the Phillies coming up in a little bit. But the Eagles, to quote Buzz's girlfriend from Home Alone, woof. My preseason NFC champion. I doubled down on Monday, as in 5 days ago, after the Eagles lost to the Broncos on Sunday, and said, I'm sticking with the Philadelphia Eagles as my NFC champion. Still think the Eagles are the best team. It's a little sketchier now after what we saw last night. A little sketchier. Now, I'm going to make some excuses for the Eagles before we really criticize them, but I am going to make a couple excuses for them. Excuse numero uno, Jalen Carter didn't play in the game. He matters a lot. Excuse numero dos, Landon Dickerson didn't play in the game. He matters a lot. And excuse numero tres, Quinyon Mitchell left the game. He's their best corner by a long shot. And Cooper DeJean's good also, but Mitchell's a boundary corner. That matters a lot. So when the Eagles get fully healthy, and I'm talking the three guys that missed last night, and when they get Nolan Smith back, and like Nolan Smith is not exactly Reggie White, but they need him rushing the passer. They got no juice right now off the edge. Got to get Nolan Smith back. And I actually think, and I want everyone to remember this name, and we talked about him in August and in early September when the Eagles swung that trade with the Las Vegas Raiders. When Ja'Corian Bennett comes off IR, he was placed on IR a couple weeks ago along with Nolan Smith, I think he immediately becomes the Eagles' number two corner because Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson can't play. When the Eagles get healthier, I still think they're the most talented team. But the big difference between this Eagles team and last year's team, in addition to Kellen Moore not being there and disgrace to Italians, Kevin Petullo running the offense, the depth isn't really there. Everybody's got to be healthy. You can't take pieces out of the Jenga tower for this year's Philadelphia Eagles team and really get away with it. Like, you just can't do it. And you saw it manifest itself last night in this loss to the Giants. Like, you can't lose Landon Dickerson because the guy that's filling in is no good. Brett Toth, abused by Brian Burns and others, mostly Brian Burns. You can't lose Nolan Smith because you got no juice off the edge rushing the passer. Think about how good that pass rush was last year. Like, you can make it work if you've got everybody. When you don't got everybody, it doesn't look that great for the Eagles. I'm not willing to bury this team yet by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they had a rough stretch. They were 2-2 through four games last year. They're 4-2 now. Like, of course they can still get it together. Of course they can still win the NFC. Hell, they could win the Super Bowl still. But this ain't a good run out. And for as good as the vibes are with the Giants at 2-4, it's the diametric opposite for the Eagles at 4-2. And the Eagles on offense, besides for Petullo, have got two big issues. Number one, I'll do like my McLaughlin group. Issue number one, the first issue. The offensive line is not as good this year as it was last year. It's just not. It isn't. Especially with Dickerson not healthy. Lane Johnson's been in and out of the lineup. Becton's gone and Tyler Steen hasn't been great filling in. That's the first thing. So I don't think it's like Saquon Barkley's shot or doesn't have it anymore. I think this line's not as good. And the other thing. And I think I've earned enough credibility here with what I'm about to say as it regards this player. I'm a huge Jalen Hurts fan. And I would actually challenge anybody to find someone in the media that does what I do for a living, hosting a sports talk show, that likes Jalen Hurts more than I do. I don't think he sucks. I think he's awesome, deserved to win Super Bowl MVP. He needs to play way better than he's playing. That interception that Cordell Flott picked off, first off, he's got AJ Brown wide open. That video's all over social media. Also, like, he's sitting there in the pocket. He's got time to throw. He locks in on Devontae Smith and throws like off his back foot and a weak throw that Flott easily picks off. I'm just going to give a reference here that I don't know how many people will get, but you know what it reminded me of? In 2000, when the Giants lost to the Cardinals in Arizona, and Kerry Collins threw a pick right before halftime that Justin Lucas picked off for Arizona. It's like the same exact pass. And that was so bad that Jim Fossil stripped Sean Payton of the play calling duties and took over play calling. I'd say Sean Payton won that one in the end. Just saying. But that did happen. And that's what that pass reminded me of. Jalen Hurts has got to play way better. And one thing that you can say about Hurts that I think is fair, even if I think he's great, he's not Patrick Mahomes in the sense that he can be awesome and win games if things are falling apart around him. And people hear that and they get really mad, like it's an insult. Like, sorry, like Hurts is not on that level. He's not. But they won a Super Bowl. He was the MVP. Who cares? But people still get mad. He needs things to be really good around him. And right now, that's not the case. AJ Brown's pissed, clearly. The offensive line isn't blocking as well, clearly. And his play hasn't been up to par. And the offensive coordinator might be a disgrace to Italians. This team's got issues. The Eagles today are third on the odds board to win the NFC. Plus 500 behind the Lions and the Green Bay Packers. I don't really want to bet the Eagles right now because I want to see what things look like moving forward here for Philadelphia. But I'll tell you what, I am not going to bury the Philadelphia Eagles. No way. No how. On the other side, we'll talk about another Philadelphia sports team that lost last night.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pajes breaks his back. Kirk Ring got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away. And the Dodgers have won. The Dodgers win. And they are moving on to the NLCS.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The great Brian Anderson with the call last night on TBS. BA will join us on the show coming up next week. We look forward to having Brian Anderson, friend of the program, rejoin You Better You Bet. We will talk about the Phillies' loss to the Dodgers, LA advancing to the NLCS in just a moment. But we got to remind our listeners and viewers that no matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. Use today's Parlay Boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. And as always, don't forget to download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts, and like, comment, and subscribe to our video channels, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network, twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. Just before we get to the Phillies, just one note on the Eagles. Next week for Philadelphia, there's a look-ahead market for the Eagles, and they will... I'm on the wrong page. The Eagles next Sunday are at the Minnesota Vikings, who are... on their bye this week after the back-to-back international games. The Eagles are currently 2.5-point road favorites with the juice towards the Eagles. We don't know who's starting for the Vikings in that game, that quarterback, J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz. I'll tell you what, Brian Flores, with the extra time to prepare for this Eagles offense, I can't wait to talk about that game next week. My initial thought, if Quinyon Mitchell's going to play and Jalen Carter plays and Dickerson plays, and we'll see about all of it, we're way early in the process, I'm going to like the Eagles. And I'll be stubborn. I'll like the Eagles if that's going to be the case. If Philly's injured in entering that game, we can have a different conversation on the show next week. Now, as for Major League Baseball last night, this postseason's been awesome. And that series with the Phillies and the Dodgers, pretty fun. And last night was an absolutely epic baseball game. Obviously comes down to it there with Orion Kirkring on the mound. Poor Orion Kirkring. Who you actually, I feel like if you have a soul, you feel bad for this guy today. After the way that this went down. Pajes hits him the ball. He bobbles it for a second and just completely loses his mind. Like his brain short circuits. I have no idea if he knew how many outs there were. I think in the moment, he just absolutely panicked and throws the ball home, and it goes over the catcher's head, and the Dodgers score. Ha-Seong Kim scores the winning run, and the Dodgers move on to the National League Championship Series. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, and I want to give a shout-out because he was talking about it also, our friend Anthony DeBundo, friend of the show from The Ringer, who's a big Phillies fan. And I thought this when it happened last night. This was, it's not like exactly like 2011 in the division series against the Cardinals with Ryan Howard grounding out like in a 1-0 game and tearing his Achilles running to first base. And as the Philly season ends, like Ryan Howard's in a heap, like halfway to first, like you don't know he's torn his Achilles, but you know something's up. Just a brutal, brutal, brutal way to end the season for the Philadelphia Phillies. And if you're a Phillies fan, or someone that was invested in the Phillies this year, either emotionally or financially, and maybe you want to be invested in them next year, they do right now have a little, just a little, but it's there. They have a little New York Yankees feel about them. In a bad way. Where we now have years of postseason results from this core, from this group of players. You know, whether it's losing the World Series to the losing the World Series to the Astros, where, look, they were not supposed to make the World Series that year. They had a great run. We had them in a bunch of those series, including the NLCS, but losing to the Astros in that World Series. You know, losing to the Diamondbacks in the NLCS a couple years ago as a big favorite. Losing to the Mets in the Division Series last year as a big favorite. And now this. And the way it happened. If I'm a Phillies fan, or someone that wants to bet the Phillies next season, you got to hope that they have a new manager. Because the GM's obviously going nowhere. And we'll see about Schwarber. We'll see what happens with the lineup and the whatever. You have to do something. Because I don't know if they're winning more regular season games next year. They were awesome this year. Like, they might be worse next year. We'll see. It's really, really bad for the Phillies. And the thing that's got to stick in your craw the most, and this isn't just for Phillies fans, right? This is for anyone that has a future on the Phillies or felt like the Phillies were going to win the World Series, which was a perfectly reasonable opinion to have. Hell, we said prior to the series starting, this was the World Series. And that we were going to like whoever won the series to win the World Series. We liked the Dodgers. We happened to be on the right side. Look, I'll say it now, and I said it then. And by the way, it doesn't all come down to Orion Kirkring. Like Vesia is a curtain jerking jabroni, and you got a chance to take the lead. They had a million chances. They couldn't hit the whole series. And they haven't hit in any big spot with this core in 3 years now in the postseason. So yeah, like Kirkring had the big mental faux pas, and it's terrible. It's awful. But you know what? Like, can the bats accept some responsibility here? Can they accept some responsibility for what happened? If the Phillies had won last night's game and won game 5, I would have come on this show and said they are going to win the World Series. They'll beat the Cubs or the Brewers in the CS. I think it'll be Milwaukee, although after last night, we'll see. And they'll beat whoever the NL representative, and maybe it's a smidge of revenge for Joe Carter and Mitch Williams, and back-to-back in 93. Who knows? But I think the Phillies would have won the World Series if they had won this series. But they didn't. The Dodgers did. And this is like I said before the series started, where the Dodgers have somehow improbably become the most expensive team of destiny ever. And the Phillies, the plucky Philadelphia Phillies, who beat the Braves a couple times as dogs on this run with this group of players, have now become the losers. When Orion Kirkring's ball went to the backstop and Ha-Sung Kim scored the winning run, I believe this baseball season drew to an end. It's all over, but the shouting. The Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win another world championship. And we told you yesterday before the show that if you agreed with us that that was going to happen, you had a nice opportunity to grab some good prices on the Dodgers to do so. And we did that yesterday, and we talked about it yesterday. I would be stunned if the Dodgers lost to either the Cubs or the Brewers. Stunned if they lost to either the Mariners, Tigers, or Blue Jays in the World Series. You better you bet on this Friday. We'll get into Texas and Oklahoma in a second, but Femi Abebefe with me, celebrity Seattle Mariners fan ahead of the Mariners game 5 tonight against the Tigers. How are you feeling, my man? Because the betting market into the Mariners, ton of money on Seattle from where we were yesterday into today.
The betting market's feeling some of that Soto mojo, baby. This was a minus 145 Detroit yesterday, plus 125 if you wanted to back Seattle. But here everybody is back in George Kirby and the Mariners. We're down to even money over at BetMGM. Was some of that my money? Not yet. Like I think they're going to win the game. I'm just like debating in my own head. It's like, hey, do I want to also be financially invested as also being emotionally invested in the Mariners getting this result done? But like, I'm cautiously optimistic that they're going to win tonight. There's just something about this lineup that's not afraid of Tarik Skubal. Like, they've had success against Skubal. I don't think they're going to see him on the mound and be like, oh my goodness, we can't hit this guy. Like, the atmosphere is going to be off the charts. I think the Mariners find a way to get it done. They had to do it the hard way, but that's the Mariner way. I think they're going to win tonight, and they're going to advance to the ALCS to where, hey, I think they have every bit of chance to knock off the Toronto Blue Jays with the way that this lineup and the pitching staff has been rolling along. Just got to worry about that bullpen. It's not been great, but the starters have been pretty good so far in this series, and I think they have a really good chance to win the pennant.
And if Detroit wins tonight, and I like Seattle also, if Detroit wins tonight, I mean, you can pencil in Blue Jays Dodgers, I think, for the World Series. I don't think the Tigers can beat the Blue Jays in a 7-game series. Femi, to close the hour, what's the latest on Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer and the betting market for Red River tomorrow, Oklahoma and Texas?
Yeah, so we keep getting like hourly updates from John Mateer in this Oklahoma situation. I know CBS Sports' Matt Zenitz was talking about how there's optimism about John Mateer playing in this game, but they want to wait until tomorrow to make that final determination. I'm assuming they want to see him in warmups and like, let's just see how he wakes up and just give it another day, since it's been 16 days since he had the surgery. Like, the fact that he's even attempting to play, I think, is a little bit nuts, but hey, he wants to play in Red River, which is a big part of this. This has been Mateer pushing it. Like, this is not like Venables saying, hey, buddy, you got to go out there and give it the old college try. Mateer told his teammates, reportedly, according to On3 Sports, that like before the surgery, he says, I'm going to be back for Red River. So he wants to fulfill that and live up to those expectations and play in this game. Obviously, a massive game with one of the biggest rivalries, not just in college football, but in all of sports. But with all of that reporting and all of the, I guess, belief that Mateer might be out there on the field tomorrow, Oklahoma is now the favorite. OU has flipped favorite over at BetMGM and every other sports book to where the Sooners are now 1-point favorites. The total has also gone up. This was 43 yesterday, now as high as 45. BetMGM has a 44.5. But yeah, we're seeing the Sooners now become the favorite. In my opinion, I disagree, because I'm a little bit skeptical about how this is going to look for John Mateer. But I would expect John Mateer to be out there tomorrow. If somebody asked me, will he or won't he? I think he will play against Texas, and we'll see how it goes.
Today is 16 days since John Mateer had surgery on his throwing hand. Tomorrow will be 17. There were reports he couldn't grip a football earlier this week. I mean, I guess it's possible that like he can now. This whole thing seems a little crazy. But you know, like we always say, Femi, like the betting market knows before anyone else does. If Michael Hawkins were playing and like people knew that, Oklahoma would not be a 1-point favorite here.
Nope.
So like something's up. And we may not know for sure until tomorrow. I'm leaning towards the Texas side as well. We'll talk about all the big college football games, and there are many in the final hour, the power hour today on this phenomenal Football Friday. Hour one done, hour two for you coming up on the other side. Three guests will join us. Colin Wilson, college football. Jay Croucher on the NFL. But Robert Flores starts it off, talking all things Major League Baseball playoffs.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.